everybody. Welcome to another wonderful episode of this. When we talked to each other. Oh God, it's going so good. When we last spoke, I was stuck in traffic. And I had to make a tough decision. This is a decision I've made a few times. It's really a series of decisions that results in me peeing in a bottle in traffic. Which I don't know. It's not my favorite thing to do, but it's become necessary. You know, I've been accused of having the bladder of a woman, which I'm not sure. Apparently, women have tiny bladders. I don't know. I would really think it's more like having the bladder of an old man with prostate disease or something like that. Or perhaps a pregnant woman. I know for a fact that can cause some problems. That's a big problem. But I ended up peeing in a bottle, just sitting at a stop. You know, this is my best in the car pee so far. So far when I've tried this, it's never gone great. I think one time I had success, but this time I wasn't driving, though. This is my first driving, mostly success, and I say mostly because I got a small amount of urine on my shirt. And then I also was sitting in traffic because I'd briefly lost the cap to the bottle, the Smart Water bottle, that was sitting in the cup holder. So I just had an open pee container for a while I'm sitting there wondering why. Surely I didn't just fucking chuck the cap out the window. I mean, maybe I did. That is not something I'm absolutely certain I wouldn't do. But I don't know. Where could it have gone? You know, I'd moved 5 feet in the traffic. You wonder about that. That's the part I wondered, because I'm in a regular car. And you wonder if someone in an SUV, I mean, I know they could see me peeing if they were trying to, I think. I'm not totally sure. I've never seen anyone peeing, but I could probably, if I kept my eyes open. If I wasn't so busy peeing myself, I'd probably see other people peeing themselves or their bottles or whatever. It was nice. I had to dump out the whole bottle of water, too, which actually I considered to be double duty, both getting rid of the pee water and... Well, no, both making space for the pee and getting rid of the water that would only turn into more pee. Here's the thing, it was like a total traffic jam, which I didn't expect. Because usually there'll be some traffic and maybe you'll get stuck and you'll be delayed an hour. I mean, it took me 4.5 hours to do a 2.5 hour drive. And the part where I got stuck, there was nowhere to pull off. You know, it's not like I could just go off to the side and take a pee in a gas station or something. There was nothing. There was no exits. There was nowhere to go. I was trapped like a rat filled with pee. So that's the thing. That's the decision you have to make when you pee in the bottle is basically, okay, well, I think I have to pee. I mean, how long could I hold it? And do I want to try? Or is it worth it? Because if you're not going to make it, here's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to hold it for an hour and a half and then pee in a bottle anyway, right? Or you don't want to pee in a bottle and then be at a stop 20 minutes later. But if you're going to be somewhere and you're stuck, you just should pee in the bottle immediately. This is, you know, this is a clutch decision, not to be taken lightly, okay? So that's what I did. I peed in the bottle. I made it work. I made it happen. I did the magic that needed to be done to pee, for my pee to be so great. So that got me up there. Got up there, and so I stayed in this guy's one-room studio apartment instead of in a hotel. I booked this online on Airbnb. And I didn't really know what to expect. Everything was cool except for when I got there, there was one of those things like a realtor puts on the door that has the key inside so you can get inside. And I got up there, the code didn't work. And to open it and get the key out, you know. So I probably spent a half hour just fiddling with it, though, because anyone who knows me will tell you, I am not good with locks and keys and that kind of thing. I'm like a reverse locksmith, you know what I mean? Or a reverse lock picker or something. A normal lock is harder for me than it should be. You know, the average person could probably get a normal lock off in no time. And for me, it's longer. It takes me longer to get a lock off with the key standing there than it would for a professional with no key, no idea how to open the door, blindfolded and drunk. That's basically my level of skill when we're talking about this stuff. So I fucked with it for a while thinking maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. And then finally thought, all right, well, I better email this guy or call him and see if something's up, right? So I email him and I'm waiting. I did too. So I had the password for the Wi-Fi already. And so I typed that in, and at first it didn't work. So that's when I started thinking, oh, shit, you know, this whole thing is a scheme. This whole thing is out of order. Never going to work. But then it did work. So it was fine. A thrilling tale, right? So he called me back. Turned out some shithead who'd stayed there before had dropped the realtor box, broke it, and had to buy one from Home Depot. It was supposed to program the same code in, but put the numbers in the wrong order, which I'd sort of tried some of the numbers in a different order, but you know how that goes. I mean, you can only be so certain of what you're punching in and all that kind of shit. So I did get in. It was weird. I mean, you know how you go into a hotel and it's got sort of a weird smell, but you know it's because they use those extremely harsh cleaning products, so it's sort of okay as well. That's what this was like. I mean, you could tell there was some kind of industrial cleaning going on, but it was also sort of like a house. But you didn't get the impression that the guy actually lived there at all. For example, he had like some books and DVDs sitting up on top of the TV. The DVDs he had were obviously the ones from the dollar bin at Walgreens, you know, where it's like creature who, it's some fucking movie that, you know, who's Angelina Jolie's dad? Fucking that guy, John Voight. Some movie John Voight made way before he was famous. Black and white, there's a creature. There's always a creature in these movies. And no one's ever heard of it. And you look it up on IMDb and there's not even any information. There's not even cover art for it. The cover art is just a picture from Casablanca that they're like, eh, no one will know this scene. We'll just say it was from this other John Voight movie. It'll be fine. So, you know, it's sort of like someone lives there and sort of not. You guys hear my car? I'm like flying up the road here. So, I mean, it was cool. Staying there was cool. It worked out. I lost one of the card keys. I looked through all my shit like 3 times trying to figure out what the fuck I did with it. No idea. But also kind of don't care, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I care. I mean, what can you do? At a hotel, I feel like I almost, if I have any card keys left by the time I checked out, I'm astounded. If I lay a little envelope, if I still have the envelope and it's got 2 card keys in it, I can't even believe my eyes, what I'm looking at, you know? I'm so shocked and dumbfounded that I managed to hang on to these items for 2 or 3 days. I don't even know what to do with myself. But, yeah, so I lost one. So that's not so bad. I mean, 1 of 3 keys. There's, like, the physical key and the 2 card keys. I lost 1 of the card keys. So, what are you gonna do? Weird system, too. I have a key and then 2 card keys when you get inside. I don't know. But anyway. So then I went to the wedding. Had to get on the gondola as planned. Which turned out fine. It turned out that I was just almost late. So I got on. There's nobody else there. Nobody else getting on. Just me. So I just rode up to the top and then to the bottom. It was great. Peaceful. Talked to my sister, which wasn't as peaceful, but still good. I don't know. It was such a weird thing to do because this wedding, it was sort of a destination wedding, even if you live there, because you had to go on this gondola, you get to the top of this mountain, and then the guy's like, oh, okay, are you here for the wedding? And I said, yeah. And he goes, all right, go off to the left. So I start walking down this path, and then a guy comes out from this other spot, and he's like, oh, no, you got to get on this second gondola and go across to this other mountain. And I was like, how fucking long was this asshole at the top of the other one? He's like, go to the left. Why wouldn't you say get on the other gondola? Why would you say go to the left? I can, if you said go to the other gondola, it was like directly in front of where I got off the first one. I think I could find it. Also, I don't know why the hell. And then the first one I got on too, halfway up it stops. You could get off, you know, it goes into a little hut and it slows down and the doors open. So I stood up and asked this lady, you know, hey, do I need to get off here or keep going for the wedding? And she's like, oh, no, just stay on and please sit down, you know. Real stern, like I was a fucking idiot. I don't know where the weddings happen. I've never been married at a ski zone before. I'm sorry. I don't do this every fucking day. I know for you it's probably annoying because every day some shithead in a suit says, do I get off here? And you say, obviously not. Because there's nothing up here. I don't know. I got off at the other one. There wasn't anything up there either. But I thought there might be. It was hard to tell. So that was nice. Real nice lady, by the way. Jesus. Some of the fucking people, I gotta say, these mountain people range from super nice as fuck to complete fucking assholes. I just went and picked up a pizza. Carry out pizza. And it was one of these things, you get in, it's a tiny pizza store, there's four fucking people in there, and when you get in there, they all look at you and then kind of look away in that thing of, I hope one of the other people who works here helps this person. No one says, hey, how's it going? The guy who rang me up did not even look up from the fucking cash register. This is an adult man. Couldn't even look up and say, like, hey, what's the name? Something like that. It turned into a three-person process because nobody could bear to do all the steps of taking my pizza, turning their body 180 degrees so they were facing me with the pizza, setting it on the counter, ringing it up, and taking my money. Couldn't do it. Jesus Christ. So I'm sure they're every place is like this, too. I just saw this thing online someone posted, and it's like, this is why people in New York don't like tourists, you know, and it's because basically you take up space and we're just trying to go to work. Well, guess what? You live in New York fucking city. What do you think it's going to be like? Okay, if you live in the mountains and you work on a ski resort and there's a huge lodge at the top where there's probably a wedding every week, if you get real pissed off about weddings, you should probably do something else. This would be like if I became a priest. I don't like fucking kids, so I would get tired of it real quick. Wouldn't be a good career path for me, and every time I brought it up, no one would have sympathy for me either, because they'd say, well, what did you think it was going to be? This is exactly what it is. So I get up there to the wedding. It was good. There's always at the bars, too, at these weddings. Why does the bar at every wedding close? It's like going to a baseball game. You know, the bar at the baseball game, they close at the seventh inning stretch or whatever. Which is crazy. Because they have no... I could have had 12 beers in the last hour. And then they say, well, as long as he's got like 45 minutes to sober up, we've done our part to be responsible. You know what I mean? That's retarded. That's just stupid, stupid way to run a thing. Just have the beer go to the end. God, whatever your event is, whatever your restaurant is, beer goes to the end. And when the beer and the liquor is done, the event is done. That's how this event went. You know, the bar, for some reason, Cindy, she, a half hour before the end, was like, that's the end of the bar. Also, you know, at a wedding, I know it's not very classy, but they never do like a last call. They never say, like, last call, so hurry up and get over here. So you don't really know, and then it's just too late. And then they just have... But also, this bartender, I get a beer. She cracked the bottleneck somehow, opening the beer with a beer opener. Horrible. I was cutting my lip drinking this beer. I had to go pretty far to drink that beer. But you know what? I did it. I fucking did it. I'm an intrepid survivor. I'm not going to give up, but I did not appreciate that. Anyway, met up with this guy that I knew from high school, Jeff, and his husband. These are the people I spent the whole wedding with. You know, this is going to be fun when I go back to work and they say, "So, did you meet any ladies?" And I'll say, "Actually, I just hung out with these married gay guys the whole time." I think I talked to one lady for 2 minutes and it was terrible. And I had to excuse myself because she was talking something about living in Kansas and her husband was pissed off at the moment. And he was standing right there. I don't know. It was very weird. I mean, everyone was loaded, but I don't think that's what anyone means when they say, "Did you talk to any ladies?" Oh, yeah, I talked to this woman whose husband was extremely furious looking, and she talked to me about Kansas, which I don't even know anything about. So anyway, it was good, but we, you know, the three of us were at the peripheral friend table. It was good. So how do you know the bride and the groom? Oh, we used to work together. We sort of don't work together. I wanted to go up to the groom and be like, "Hey, goddammit, I deserve better than this, you know." But if those guys hadn't been there, I would have been screwed. I would have been at that table. I don't even know, because someone said, you know, "How did we know him?" And the guy Jeff said something like, "Oh, yeah, you know, from high school." And they say, "Oh, has he changed much?" And Jeff just said something like, "No, he's still a complete fucking asshole, and he was back then, too." And the other people at this table, I swear to God, this one guy just sort of gave this stone-faced look and said, "Well, I don't think he's an asshole, you know." He knew that Jeff was joking, but at the same time couldn't just let it go. He had to sort of say, "Well, I don't approve of that. I'm going to have to register a disagreement." "Okay, buddy. That's fine, I guess. I don't know." What a crazy person. But that's the table I would have been at. I think they talked about golf for 3 hours. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I've golfed one time. I could talk about it for a while, but most of the memories I have of golf is, you know, isn't it crazy how you can do it extremely wasted? I didn't dance at all. There was no call to dance, so that worked out. I also didn't try to catch the garter. None of that. I didn't really do that stuff. So the ceremony. So we sit down and there's these rocks, and they did that thing where they collected rocks from different special places. And I switched my rock for another rock because I didn't like the one on my chair. But then it turns out you're just supposed to like make a wish on the rock and drop it in this jar. So I probably wouldn't have done so much rock jockeying if I'd known that it wasn't for me anyway. I wasn't going to get to keep the rock, so what's the point? You know, I don't need to find a pretty one if I'm going to just put it back in this jar. I don't know. I wonder what becomes of this jar of rocks, where that goes. They must have a fireplace. That seems like a perfect fireplace decorative thing. So the ceremony goes, you know, and everybody's walking up the thing. And probably 90 seconds into the ceremony, this kid, you know, and the ceremony wasn't anything outrageously boring or weird or anything like that. I swear to God, 90 seconds in, this kid behind us just goes, "This is so boring," you know. He's not even trying to be quiet either. He's just like, everyone in the row we sat in laughed. Because you couldn't help it, because it happened so fast. You could tell he was being completely honest. He wasn't trying to be funny. He just was letting his dad or whoever know. He's like, "Oh, I'm bored." Then about 2 minutes after that, you know, he's saying how he can't see anything, which was also amusing. And then he goes, "When do we get to eat cake?" And then more laughs. And then he went back to his old standby of, "This is so boring." Which, you know what, still pretty good the second time. I mean, he was just letting us know that things didn't pick up. Maybe he tried and it didn't pick up for him. I don't know. And then there were probably 3 or 4 crying babies that had to go out. I don't think kids should. There needs to be some kind of separate glassed-in viewing area up above, like an owner's box. And that's where kids can watch the wedding. Because they don't. I don't know. They seem to. Kids seem to be, you know, I'm good for about 4 minutes of wedding. Kids seem to be good for about 4 seconds. I mean, I thought I was bad. I thought I had a sense of childlike trouble paying attention to weddings, but I obviously have improved because I made it longer than any of those kids. Not that I'm super proud of this accomplishment. My big accomplishment that I have a longer attention span than a fucking 4-year-old. But you get the drift, right? You get what I'm saying? So that's the wedding. That was, you know, I mean, it was nice. They're both real hot, so I don't know. I wish them the best, and at the same time, screw it. What are you going to do? They're going to be fine. What else was going on? I'm sorry, you guys. Yeah, they had a nice guest book, too. You guys ever sign the guest book at the wedding? I need to start carrying around, like, business cards, but instead of my business on them, it says little phrases that you could put on, like, coworker anniversary cards at the office, or guest book at a wedding, or guest book when you stay somewhere, or something like that. I hate that, too, when the guest book at a place where you're staying. I mean, the only fun thing is to flip through and see if someone put terrible shit in there. But other than that, you know, I just want to see a swastika in there. That's all I care about. The guys, so those guys that I hung out with at the wedding, too, were saying they stayed in this condo. And they asked if the owners decorated them, which they had, because theirs was 100% moose themed. Everything was moose. Down to, they said, you know, those little, the shower curtain rings that hold the shower curtain had moose heads on them. And I wish I could remember. There was some fucking phrase that it said, like, thanks for moosey-ing on in or something like that. You know what I mean? It doesn't even really work, the phrase. It sort of works, moosey-ing instead of moseying or something like that. But Jesus fucking Christ, how committed do you have to be to a theme to go that far? You know, does anyone need to go that far? I stayed in a cabin once that was rustic, let's say. By rustic, I mean, I think all the furniture was made via chainsaw carving. You know, you see those people on the side of the road and they have a stand where everything's carved by chainsaw. I'm pretty sure that's what happened here, too. There was a fucking lamp in there that was an eagle. And it was definitely carved by a chainsaw, and the base of the lamp was about 8 times the size of the light bulb lampshade portion of the lamp. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no light compared to the relative size of the lamp. Anything that heavy and large should have been a fucking spotlight. They shoot off into the sky. I mean, that light should have made a physical hole in the ceiling of this cabin. That's how fucking big it was. But instead, it was a regular lamp that's dwarfed by this huge wooden base. Terrible. What a terrible thing to have done. And, you know, the bed, it was like all carved bears and all this stuff. Everybody carves the same shit with chainsaws. Have you noticed that? There's like 5 things that you're allowed to carve with chainsaw. I mean, nobody carves a mermaid. It's eagle, bear, moose, fish, something that sort of looks like a pine tree, and then any combination of those two. You know, sometimes like a bear in fishing gear catching a fish or something like that, or a bear and a moose high-fiving. Maybe a wolf, too. I'm sure there's some wolf stuff. Oh, and an old Indian. That's the one other one that you'll see is like an old Indian guy. His head will be carved into that, and you think, oh, that makes sense, because they're wise, sort of like a tree, or I don't know. I'm not 100% on what the message is there with that. So this morning, there was a brunch, and we made our way to the brunch. And for some reason, you know, it was in this sort of plaza thing. There was a circus happening, and also a bike race had finished. You know, they had like a 12 and under mountain bike race, and they were announcing the finishers, you know, and the guy was saying, with a time of 1 hour and 45 minutes, Billy from wherever, and this kid gets up on the stage. And I was just thinking, watching this, you know, I have these horrible nightmares about having a kid. And this is definitely one of them, because I think, oh, fuck, it'd be bad enough. But then what if your kid turns 9 and he's like, Dad, I am real into BMX mountain biking, by which I mean you taking me to a contest 4 hours away from home in the mountains. We have to arrive there at 8 a.m., and then I'm going to bike for 2 hours while you do God knows what, and then we go home. You know, you're going to have to buy a thing that completely ruins the aesthetic of your car so we can have bikes on it. I swear to fucking God, every car I've seen this weekend has 800 bikes hanging off it. There are some bikes that I'm not, or cars, I'm not even sure that they're cars and not just a huge mound of bikes being powered down the hill. Just by their wheels are touching the ground. I don't know if there's a person in there. I don't know if, like, an inventory from a fucking bike shop just fell off. I have no idea. What I know is that there are too many goddamn bikes being transported by passenger cars. Holy shit. And if you've got, like, a huge SUV, just put one bike inside. I'm right behind a car right now that's got one bike sitting on the back of it. One. Huge SUV. You could not fit that bike in the back. I bet you could. I bet I've put my bike in my car. I have a rip in the ceiling to prove it. You know, I have a good car because I've put a bike in the back and also a fabric ceiling that's ripped by it. That's how you could tell the marks of quality. I'm just saying, how about you just try? Instead of buying a whole device, then attaching a bike. And how much are you riding this goddamn bike? You have a car. You need the bike? I just thought I would drive my bike somewhere and then ride it around. I don't... Just ride your bike there. What the fuck? So that was nightmarish, just thinking about that. But then they also had a circus of sorts going on in between the announcements. They had one guy who was wearing stilts that could spring. They kind of looked like those ones for people who put in a drop ceiling or do wiring in the ceiling. Every contractor, I have to say, contractors have really taken the romance out of stilts. Because you see one guy, there's like one Guatemalan guy installing wiring and he's just on stilts and he doesn't even mention that he's on stilts. And you want to ask him, you want to say, how did you get on there? And then also, you see him on there and you're just like, well, if that guy can do it, how hard could it be? You know what I mean? If some guy, when you become a contractor, I'm sure they don't give you stilt lessons. They probably just say, get on these fucking stilts and get to work. You know, on delay. Well, you know, so seeing the contractor do it takes all the romance of it, because I'm like, well, I could probably do it then. How cool is that? If you can just be up there. Not that exciting. And how much do those cost? I'd like to know. I don't know why. I don't know what I would do with stilts in my day-to-day. But, yeah. And no one's impressed by it anymore, so it's kind of pointless. But this guy has had some kind of spring in it so he could start jumping, kind of like pogo sticks. You know, so he was flipping around and almost kicking people in the face for several hours. You know, and he thought it was real funny to sort of walk up to people and then pretend like he was going to fall on them or fall in their baby carriage or something like that, which everyone was super amused by. Believe that. There's also an Asian girl who was on stilts, but her stilts were the boring kind, and she was just walking around tall, basically, and not even that tall, because obviously on the ground she must have been 4'5". I saw her going into the bathroom, and she was dressed insanely and had weird makeup on, so I was almost relieved to see her later on stilts, because I thought, oh, okay, she's not just being like this. This is a, you know, this is a circus thing. I mean, I don't know. Rarely am I relieved to find out a circus event is happening, but this is a situation where I could say, oh, okay, good. That's because of a circus thing, not because this is the worst person who's just dressed this way. But, I mean, she was pretty boring because, honestly, she was probably, like, 7.5 feet tall. So, I don't know, probably tall for an Asian girl, but overall, I wouldn't say insane tall. You know, my mind is fucking blown away out of my brains tall or anything. And she's just walking around. Who cares? I don't know, and there are some other people doing, You know what they like to do in the circus now? I think this is like a Cirque du Soleil thing, where they're sort of hanging from a rope or a hoop and spinning and holding themselves upside down. Kind of like stripper moves, but classier in some way. Which is weird, because, you know, we're just looking at your parts. It's like, oh, that's what a butt looks like, upside down, legs akimbo in a hoop. Okay, well, now I know. That's all that really matters about it. I don't know. And you know it's true, because nobody does this in fucking jeans or sweatpants. I've never seen a circus where they didn't wear pants where I could see their entire butt. Ever. Ever. Does not exist. There's also a juggler who was walking around who I'm not entirely convinced was with the circus. I don't know if he was sanctioned to be part of this, because he fucking smelled so bad. Like, the body odor, he went past me, and I didn't know it was him at first, and I was like, my God, what the fuck was that, you know? And then we were sitting in the restaurant, and he happened to come walking through there for God knows why. And then I confirmed, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, all right, it is that guy. What the fuck, man, you gotta get it together. I mean, I guess no one really thinks of circus folk as being, you know, the kings and queens of cleanliness, right? But at the same time, I don't know. If you smell so bad that I've identified you from walking past me and it's overpowering to where I think, oh, Jesus, this is some kind of... I mean, I thought there was a corpse under the floorboards of the restaurant. I seriously was thinking, is this safe to eat here? Because there's got to be rotting flesh in this building. Which there was. It's just from this man. Which made me think, though, maybe this guy, I mean, what's he going to do, take pictures with kids? He gets near a kid, the kid's going to flip out, right? Just be like, oh my God, what's that smell? Oh, Christ. You know, Old Spice, okay? Just do it. Just do it. There really needs to be some kind of, you know what there needs to be is an app on your phone, right? And what people can do is... strangers can send you an anonymous thing related to your hygiene. So it could be like, you have bad breath. And then if you get 50 bad breaths in a couple weeks, you'll say, all right, I must have bad breath all the time. I need to fucking fix this. Or a guy like that, you know, he gets 50, you smell really bad, and it's affecting your life and others' lives in ways that you cannot even fathom. Then maybe he can say, okay, I'd like to give people a chance to fix this, but at the same time, we always say this, where, you know, you'll see a person dressed up in a horrible dress, and then you say, all right, well, she has no friends. That's why she would wear that, because she doesn't have one friend to tell her not to. But maybe, you know, as a friend, you don't want to do that, because you don't want to be the one to have to sort of have that conversation, right? You're like, I don't know, we're just friends. We don't really talk about... you know, each other's horrible flaws that are very bothersome and make us upset day in and day out. We kind of avoid that topic, if possible. I would rather just talk about, like, music or something. So if you had that, though, if you had the anonymous Here's Why You're Horrible app, everything could maybe work out. I would want to know. It'd be nice. Be good to know. I think I asked on this show for people to send me messages or something about, you know, my issues, my grooming issues or whatever, and I didn't get any. But once you open that door for yourself, you never really believe it. You know, you open the door to tell me what's wrong with my grooming, and you don't hear anything, and then you just say, all right, well, no one said anything, but that doesn't mean there isn't anything, right? That just means no one said anything. So that's not very helpful. You guys are not helpful, is what I'm getting at. You did not help me at all with this topic. Another topic that I needed help with. So I have a problem. A real problem. I have some neighbors who moved in above me and are very loud. Stomping on the floor. Now, I've had friends come over and confirm this. This is not me being crazy. I've lived in the same horrible apartment for 8 years or something like that. And... never once had a problem like this. So I'm not just a crazy person. We'll get into that more later. But they're super loud. Okay? stomping around, all that kind of shit. And also, I mean, they're shitty in a lot of other ways, too, that normally wouldn't bother me. But, you know, they, like, drop their cigarette butts off the stairs right in front of my door, and they're leaving beer lids all over the place. All this dumb shit that I don't really care about, except for they're so fucking loud. So I've gone, and I've talked to him twice, because here's what I did. You know, I Googled what to do about loud neighbors, because this is how... This is how my life is now, that I don't know what to do in any situation besides start. I'm like, let's start with Google. Let's see what Google says and go from there, right? Because at least I'll have a starting off idea. I don't have to come up with the fresh idea. I can say, oh, Google, that's a fucking terrible idea. You're an idiot. And then go from there, knowing that the good info is not even out there. So I Google what to do about loud neighbors, and everything's kind of the same. And I was heartened by a few stories, because people would say, why don't you go up and talk to them? Because I was a loud neighbor before, and I didn't know. I didn't even know it was loud. And so when they came up and talked to me, I, you know, calmed down. I felt horrible, and I fixed it. And I said, all right, you know what? They're right. You have to ask, right? You have to ask at least once. So I went up there. Well, no, they were out on the porch one night. You know, you can tell they're good people because they're always sitting on the stoop. That's always a good sign. There's not one person who's a stoop sitter who's a real good quality. And, I mean, the stoop where we live is not nice. It's like a wrought iron piece of stairs facing out to a street. So they, I mean, I guess they like it because they can smash bottles in the road, which is a, you know, favorite activity. So they were out there, and I just said, hey, do you think you guys... I don't want to be an asshole here, but could you take it easy on the floor? It's really loud downstairs. And they said, oh, no problem. So I said, great. And then left. So, I mean, it made no difference. You know, they didn't do anything different. So I asked again, basically the same thing. You know, and the guy, it was funny, the one time he just said, oh, sure. The second time I went there and was saying, could you take it easy on the floor? And he's like, sorry, man, my wife right now is just, I mean, he didn't say it, but I think drunk or high. By the way, just know the whole time these are parents. They have like a small child who they fucking never take out of the house because I can hear the child running around all day. I don't know much about a kid, but when you live 50 fucking feet from the park... Take your kid to the goddamn park once in a while. I mean, the mom stays home with the kid all day. They stay in the apartment all day. One time I came home, they were out playing on the fucking stoop. That's it. I mean, this child is growing up in basically my apartment, which I know is not a good situation. Yeah. People say I can't judge, you know, oh, I can't judge, don't judge. Well, fuck that, because I know exactly what's going on, and I know it's a bad idea. This is not a good environment for a child to grow up in, as having that as its exclusive environment. This is all it's ever known, is this fucking tiny, shitty apartment with gray carpet and linoleum kitchen floor. Are you fucking crazy? Every door is hollow core, okay? There's no way for a child to grow. And just to be kept inside always, you could not live closer to a park than I live. I live so close to a park, it would blow your mind. It would blow your fucking mind. Not once do they go to this park, ever. Anyway, so I mean, their parents who are staying up late, smashing bottles in the street and throwing their cigarettes and beer lids down and Starburst wrappers. Because here's the other thing. They're obviously young. They obviously had, like, a mistake baby. You know, because I've talked to... There's a kid who comes over who's one of their friends. And I say kid because he's got to be, like, 20 years old. And they have, like, I don't know, a one to two-year-old kid. So they had this kid pretty fucking young. I don't think this was a big plan for them. Based on the fact that they're driving a 2000 Toyota Camry with bald tires all around, I don't think this kid was planned. You know, I don't think they made a lot of decisions about how to best raise a fucking child before they just decided, oh, well, I guess this is happening. So anyway, I asked a second time. The guy just said, oh, man, sorry, my wife is drunk or high or whatever. And I said, well, it's cool, but I mean, it's not just right now. You know, I don't have a problem when you guys have people over from talking or anything. It's just the pounding on the floor, and it's like every day. It wakes me up every day. And he said, really? Because I leave at like 8 in the morning. To which I said, well, what do you want me to say? You know, I'm telling you it's happening. I wouldn't come up here. I mean, what the fuck do they think? I'm going up there just to be a dick? I just feel like going up there and saying how annoying it is to have loud neighbors upstairs. And here's what sucks. So that didn't help either. You know what I mean? They've made no efforts. So I decided, all right, well, maybe what they need to do is understand what I'm talking about. Maybe they don't really understand, because it's them stomping around and slamming cabinets and all this shit. And when you're on the top floor, wow, you could do all this shit and it's real loud downstairs, but you might not even know. So I was like, all right, so I did the classic pound the ceiling with the broom handle, but that's like a lot of work. And here's the problem, because this apartment has fucking textured ceiling, every time I hit the ceiling, a bunch of little stalactites come down. And then you have to vacuum those. So in trying to educate these neighbors, you end up with a vacuuming chore. It's really great. It's real fucking great. So then, I went back to Google again. Trusty old Google. See what they had to say about this little predicament. And I have to say, I was pretty fucking disappointed. Because you basically get two answers from Google. One, install speakers on your ceiling and play loud music. Which is a fucking idiotic thing to say, really. Because first of all, how are you going to install speakers on your ceiling? You have some kind of bracketing system where you're going to put... Also, oh yeah, you know what I'll do is spend a couple $100,000. If I had money for a sound system that was purely for annoying other people, I wouldn't be living in this apartment, would I? I would not be living below anybody. I would be on top of the fucking world at this point. Surrender to no man and his stomps of the floor, okay? And it's not just stomps on the floor. I'm telling you, it sounds like these people are moving fucking furniture and dropping shit on the floor. It's crazy. And it's every day, all day. I could tell they went away for one weekend. I don't know where. I mean, it must have been... who knows? I mean, probably some kind of court case is my guess. I don't know. Visiting a grandpa, in prison or something. Because there's no way... It's not like they went to Disney World for the weekend. I fucking guarantee you that. But, you're going to do all this work, and really all the person upstairs has to do is walk loud or pick something up and drop it on the floor. And they still kind of one-up you. You know what I mean? So that was the one answer you get, which is not helpful. And the other thing is like, yeah, no shit. Everybody's thought of that. Oh, I could just play loud music. But the problem is that makes you look like the asshole. Because then if the landlord shows up and you're just playing loud music, it's like, well, guess what? Who's a dick now? The other answer you get all the time from people is move out, or that's why you shouldn't live in a downstairs apartment. That is the worst fucking answer I've ever heard. That's why, or they say, that's why I don't live in an apartment anymore. You know what? Fuck you. All right? That's basically you're saying that I, in my crazy warped mind, decided, oh, you know what I would like is to be surrounded by humanity and have some fucking idiot stomping on my ceiling all day. And now I don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, I made a conscious decision to surrender myself to this horror. And now that I'm living in the horror that I self-selected, I'm pissed off about it. That's basically what you're saying. That I'm that fucking dumb. Right? I mean, you're acting like I'm saying I bought a CD that I fucking hate. You know, I bought, a Michael Bublé CD, and I fucking hate it, and I keep playing it. And then they say, well, that's why I started listening to John Mayer. And I could say, oh, that's a good advice. I can't just decide to move into not a downstairs apartment. I'm poor. Okay? I'm making it, but not by a lot. I can't... And deciding, too, and it's like, okay, so basically what you're saying is the most reasonable way to handle having someone loud upstairs is to pay $250 a month more. You know, they're paying the same amount that I'm paying. It's not like you pay an extra amount that goes to me. You know, this is like, this is our loudness fee. So we get to be loud, right? I mean, this is why they can't have first class seats on the airplane in the middle of coach. Because if the first class seat could just lean back all the way and smash another person, it would make no fucking sense. So anyway, that's what people would say is just move out. Fuck you. All right, go fuck yourself. As I said before, you know, when you say that's why I don't live in a fucking apartment, I don't look at your body and say that's why I don't eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos, you bastard. You son of a bitch. And the other thing they would say, you know, is just that's what you get, basically, or move out. These were the solutions. Like, you're too sensitive. That was kind of the message, is, hey, you have to expect some noise when you live in an apartment. And I do. I'm fine with that. I don't care. You know what I mean? I've had, like, two people that I've had problems with before, and I wouldn't even say it was a problem. One was girls who were playing music too loud at 8 a.m., and I said, could you guys not do that? And they said, sure. And that was it. The other one was this fucking shithead who drove a diesel truck, so what he would do is he would turn it on 40 fucking minutes before he left the apartment, and then he would turn it, you know, he'd get back, and he would leave it running if he was going to be home for less than an hour. So he'd be just sitting there, and he would park right in front of my window, so basically he's filling my apartment with diesel exhaust. And I had to say, could you just park on the street if you're going to do that? Because Jesus Christ, I have just basically, it's like I live in a goddamn truck stop over here. And that worked out fine too. So anyway, I came up with a couple ideas. They're not good ideas, but that, you know, this is the progression. Because, you know, so the first thing was banging on the ceiling with the broom. I mean, I think the broom, I'm not sure if it was originally designed for sweeping or for banging on the ceiling when your neighbors were loud. Because it's pretty good for both. But like I said, I got tired of the fucking vacuuming all the time. So then my next thing I thought of, too, because when you're banging on with a broom, it doesn't make the same sound as when someone's walking loud, right? And I wanted them to understand that it was loud walking. So I took two golf clubs and attached shoes to them. You know, I put the head of the golf club in the shoes and would basically just walk them across the ceiling loud. Which sort of worked, but it was really just, it was a lot of work to basically have a second broom. I should have just bought another broom and had one broom for banging and one broom for just, you know, brooming. Sweeping, they call it. So then, this is when I started to get a little more clever. I figured, I was like, I have these old cell phones, right? I mean, I don't know, does everyone keep like a graveyard of their old cell phones? Because here's what I do. My cell phone, I get a new one or I fuck one up, but it still sort of works. And I keep it because I always say, oh, I need to get all the pictures and shit off of this phone. Because, you know, these are phones pre when you could just send them some way to yourself that made sense, that didn't take 4 hours for it to come. And then it's the worst quality picture you've ever seen in your life. You know, this is one of these phones has a small half dome reflective surface on it, and that's how you're supposed to take selfies. That's how advanced these are. So what I thought, though, is I'm going to charge these fuckers up and just put on every alarm that they have, right? So one, I don't know, you could only put on maybe 10 alarms, but they're treated to just 10 alarms throughout the day from that. The other one I downloaded an app for that it's kind of like a round timer for boxing, and I just set the time for some weird amount, like 44 minutes or something. So every 44 minutes, they get like a little countdown and then an alarm, and then it just resets itself, and it just goes all fucking day. And then I put those up in the light fixtures. They're right on the ceiling. just for them to fucking enjoy. Like the bastards that they are. I don't know if this has had any effect. I don't know if they even know that exists or not. It cannot be as annoying as the stomps, but it's something. I also ordered this thing online, so they were selling it quote-unquote for free. You had to pay $8 in shipping. And basically, it's a speaker. Well, it's a device that turns almost any object into a speaker. So any hollow device works best, and it vibrates things so that they create noise. And it, you know, so it has an attachment, kind of like the stethoscope when you go to the doctor, and you stick that to whatever, a box, and then the music comes through. So I was thinking, fuck it. Stick that shit to the ceiling or maybe on the closet door or something like that. Do some experimenting for $8. Maybe I'll find a surface that's extra loud. And, you know, I've started thinking more about the kinds of noises, too, because I don't want to do music. But I was like, well, what if there was just really loud coughing all night? That you could do nothing, or snoring. I mean, it would be real unfortunate if there was just loud snoring in the apartment below you. What could you do? What could one do about that, right? You'd be screwed. You'd have no real options. But that hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I keep hoping. I keep trying to remember when they moved in, hoping that they're going to move out. You know what I mean? Just like, would be really nice. It would improve my life 30%, no joke, if they were gone. I would be a little happier. I'm not going to say a lot. Because anytime I've said I'd be a lot happier, you know, I turned out to be wrong. Because that would imply that I was happy. But a little happier, that seems possible, right? Not entirely out of the realm of possibility. Well, I don't know how long this has been. I think it's a little short, but I probably have to let you go. Because I'm out of things to talk about, and I don't want to just vamp. You know, the guy who was announcing the awards for the bike race at some point was just kind of like, all right, well, gosh, we're going to have a high school league awards up next. Really wish they'd had a high school division of mountain bike when I was in high school. That would have been great. He's just saying this into a microphone to a bunch of people, half of whom don't give a fuck about bike race to begin with. The other half who are, you know, okay. I mean, how old are you, 30? So, I guess so. I wish they had a fucking Pac-Man machine at my high school. What do you want someone to say to that? Oh, yeah, totally, dude. Yes, that is exactly what we were all hoping for, is a fucking high school BM, you know, so he was just making up bullshit. And I don't really feel like doing that, because I got so mad at that guy and then thought, well, that's me. But I don't know. You can just shut this off, right? You don't have to listen to this in a courtyard while you're waiting to eat a brunch, kind of hungover. So anyway, I hope you have a good time. I'm a little concerned because the way the last one was recorded, I don't know if I can put it up or not. I might have fucked it up. So if that happens, I apologize. And I don't know. I'll have to figure out something else. Figure out a new way or something. Who knows? Anyway, thanks for listening. Facebook, Twitter, email, all that great stuff. It's all available for the world. Have a good night.